بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. In our first majlis on the first of Ramadan, then we were discussing one majlis of Hazrat Muhammad Sulah Khan. So I told you the majlis duration is 1.5 hours, and I only heard for about 45 minutes. So I decided to complete that majlis. So inshallah, the other half, inshallah, I'll present today. Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for myself and for all of us. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali was a student of Imam Malik. And also he was a student of Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. So one day he came to visit Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali. Came to visit Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali. And Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali's daughter, young girl she was, not baligha or anything, she was a very big abida, obviously the daughter of an imam, what kind of household that must be. So his daughter is going to be very pious also. So when Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali came as a mehman, she decided that I'm going to watch him very carefully of how he spends his time by my father here as a mehman. So he had his supper, and then she watched him eating, and then he slept away. He spent the night. He never get up for any ibadah or anything. And then in the morning, he never make wuzu. He jumped out of his bed and he went to perform Fajr Salah. So she witnessed this year, and she came to her father, Imam Malik, and said, "This man, I have 3 ishkals against him. 3 things. Firstly, he eats too much food. Imam Shafi, he eats too much. He ate a very big supper. Secondly, it doesn't seem like he's zahid, how much food he ate. The amount of food he ate means he can't be a zahid person, a person detached from the dunya. Because normally pious people, they only eat so much. And this man ate so much. So he is not a pious person. My Sheikh Muhammad Sulah Khan used to only have 2 rotis. That's standard. So Babi Jan should send his food. She's not allowed to send more than 2 rotis. So that's my khuraq. Not allowed to send more. So he should give that much. And then they don't have lunch. They only have breakfast. Breakfast me ande khate re hazrat. So eat eggs. And eggs is very filling for the body. And then there was no lunch, and then supper, 2 rotis, khalas. That was the khuraq of Muhammad Sulah Khan. Right. So she said, "I witnessed him. He can't be a buzug. He eat too much food." Then whole night, he never even get up for tahajjud. I was expecting him to get up, make ibadat, everything. He never made no ibadat the entire night. So I don't know what kind of buzug he is. Then Fajr time came. He went for Fajr namaz and he never even make wudu. So she got 3 ishkal against him. So Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali said, "Don't be hasty in making judgment. Don't be hasty. Let's do some tahqiq first. Find out more before we make a judgment. Let's find out more." So then Imam Malik said to Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali that you had a very big supper. Now he's ustad then, talking to the student. Right. So normally there must be some open relationship also between ustad and students so they can benefit one another. And nisful ilmi as-su'al, half of knowledge is asking questions. If we don't ask questions, are we going to get knowledge? So when it comes to asking for getting knowledge, then we have to have a good relationship with the teacher, so that at any time we can ask a question, he's ready to give an answer. There has to be a little bit of openness. That's why my Shaykh Hazrat Mu'abbas Rahmatullah Ali also used to like that. An open relationship with the students. So at any time we could just ask him anything. We never felt any barrier to ask him. And we benefited a lot like that. And every time we tell him, Hazrat, take bed. He said, you've already bed from your heart. What bed do you want to take? Because he didn't want us to take formal bed, because once we take formal bed, now he's the Shaykh and we are the Murid. So now you have to sit like a Murid. He has to sit like a Shaykh. So he preferred that it should be an open relationship, so you can make more istifada than normal. He should like that. Mu'abbasa Rahmatullah Ali. So Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali said that as far as having a very big meal, yes, I agree, I ate a lot. Because it comes in the hadith. The hadith came to mind that you must eat from tayyib food, pure food. Because pure food is going to create nur in the heart. Pure food that came from halal sources. That new food is going to create nur inside the heart. So therefore, what more pure food can I get than this food that's in front of me? So I decided to maximize. So I had a healthy meal, because it's tayyib food, and that will create nur in my heart. Then the second ishkal, that you said I slept the whole night and never even get up for tahajjud, is because when I put my head down on the pillow, one hadith came to mind. And then I started deliberating in the hadith. And during the course of the night, while deliberating, I was able to extract 100 masail from that hadith. I was able to extract 100 masail from that hadith. So I never slept the whole night, because I was making tafakkur on that hadith the entire night. So it seemed like I was sleeping, but I was not sleeping. And then when it came to Fajr namaz, I was in the state of wudu. So there was no need for me to make wudu. So therefore, I went to perform the salah, and you thought I read namaz without wudu. So from this story, we must understand that a lot of times, what we think in our minds, without tahqiq, is not the reality. We must always do investigation first. We must verify first any information that comes to us. Sometimes we misinterpret things. We misunderstand it also. From yesterday's majlis, I missed out on waqiyah that Mawlana Masullah gave. This story comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there were two farmers. So the one farmer, he had his farm on the top level, and another farmer had his farm on the bottom level. And in the olden days, the water canal first will go to the farms on top and then come to the farms at the bottom. So one person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Allah ke Rasul, my farm is situated at the bottom. There's another farm on top of me, and I need water. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called that other person and told him, see, you must fill your farm till so much level water and then release the water so that he can get water at the bottom. When he said like that, this person turned around, told him, Allah ke Rasul, I think you are biased in your judgment. You're biased in your judgment. Because that person is related to your relative. That's why you're passing judgment in his favor. Rasulullah ﷺ got very angry. He got very angry. He said, if I'm not just, then who's going to be just? Then he told him that now you mustn't release the water straight away. You must fill till the brim, right till the top. Then let him wait for the water. First I was making his riayat, that you must fill a little bit so your work can carry on, and then release the water, his work can carry on. But now, because he's saying that I'm taking sides and I'm having favoritism, so therefore, now don't just release the water. Take your full haq of the water first. And thereafter release the water. See? How your mind can make you say stupid things and you misconceive things. In the meantime, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making his riayat. He wasn't taking his haq away from him. So sometimes we don't understand. We just jump to conclusions without understanding, and that's not right. We have to verify. And nowadays, you know, when information reaches us, today with the phones and all that. Now, how much information is reaching us on that phone? How much are we actually verifying? We're just passing on messages. Did we ever check whether that is correct or it's not correct? It's true, it's not true. And we pass on the messages. Imagine your message is false. We're spreading falsehood. We are spreading falsehood. And today there's so much propaganda on these phones that our iman is in danger now. So much is going on. Every kind of person is posting things. It's coming to the point that now is having impact on our aqidah also. Our aqidah is in jeopardy. Our aqidah is being attacked. And at this time, we can't just believe everything that we see. And now there's a thing called AI. So a lot of the things that are coming is actually false. Now they post things, AI is an artificial intelligence. They use that to generate whatever they're generating. And then that information they're sending out in the public. And then you get another category, it's called influencers. They get paid. For example, the Jews, they got their own influencers. They paid millions of dollars. You go on the media and you speak in our favor. So those fellows, they'll come on all the platforms and they will sing the song of that person who is paying them. So something that is brutal, they'll make it look like it's beautiful. That we're doing something very beautiful. But in the meantime, it's total brutality. But they give it such an unwanted picture, you think that what? So everything that is shar, they'll give it such an unwanted, you think it's true, it's haq. So you can't believe everything that you see. You can't. You have to verify information. Is this true? Is it not true? Match it with Quran. Match it with Hadith. Match it with the ta'aleem of our akabir before we accept it. And we find today that even ulama are getting caught up in this also. Ulama are also getting caught up. That's what we find. Allah Ta'ala, keep us safe. So that protect our iman. Keep our iman on the manhaj of Quran and Sunnah. On the manhaj of our akabirin. That's very, very important. Then Hazrat was saying, one day, Hazrat Maria Qibtiya, radiallahu ta'ala anha, was crying. Obviously, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had a son from her, and the son passed away, so she started crying. Now when she started crying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam asked her, "Oh Maria, why are you crying? It was Allah Ta'ala's gift to us. Allah Ta'ala took it away. Why are you crying?" Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, none of his narina awlad, male offspring survived. Allah Ta'ala took all of his male offspring away in their infancy. None of his sons remained alive. His daughters remained alive, but his sons, none of them. And the reason for that is because that if they had to stay alive, nubuwwat was not possible to come to them because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Khatamun Nabiyin. He was the seal of the prophets. Being the seal of prophets, now his children can't get nubuwwat. Now if his sons can't get nubuwwat, that means the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they had fadilat over him because their sons were Nabi. After one Nabi, the father is Nabi, the grandfather is Nabi, the grandson is Nabi, all the whole silsila is carrying on Nabi upon Nabi upon Nabi upon Nabi. So that, and here, there's no silsila of nubuwwat. It's only one Nabi and khalas. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala never wanted that fadilat, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should be superseded in this regard. So therefore, under his hikmati ghamidah, Allah took away all his male offspring. Now Maria Qibtiya, radiallahu anha, she's crying. So Nabi alayhi salam asked her, "Why are you crying?" She says, "I'm crying because I want to know whether my child is in Jannat or he's not in Jannat. That's why I'm crying. Allah took him, that pain is separate now. We can overcome that pain. But my worry now is, that whether my child is going to be in Jannat or not going to be in Jannat. So when Hazrat reached this point in his majlis, he digressed, he said, Mujhe ek waqia yaad aa gaya. I remembered one waqia of one sahabi. That sahabi was born in Safar, and he came home, and he asked his wife, how is the child? How is the baby? So the wife said, he's much better than before. He's in a better condition than before. So alhamdulillah, he felt peace. He had his supper. He read his salah, ate his food. He went to sleep. He had even relations with his wife that night. He got up in the morning, said that he went, he read his namaz, everything. He went for salah. And then when he comes back, she tells him, said that, if somebody comes and place an amanat by us, and they come to ask for their amanat, what should we do? So he says, then you must return the amanat. You must return the amanat. Return the amanat. So he says, Allah gave us the amanat, Allah took the amanat away. Whole night the child passed away inside the house, the husband don't even know the child is gone. Hazrat says, Aisi aurat, such a woman with such zabt, such control, such sabr, that level of sabr nobody has seen till today. Imagine. She said, if I told you that the child is gone, you would have never even eaten one luqma of food. And you came in Safar to give you rahat, to give you comfort, to let you spend a peaceful night. I never even tell you the child passed away. And that information actually reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, look at the sabr and zabt of that woman. So Hazrat Maria Qibtiya, she's crying. So she wants to know, Allah ki Rasul, Allah ki Rasul, will my child be in Jannat or my child not be in Jannat? That's my worry. So Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he didn't know what the answer to give. He kept quiet. So he was waiting for wahi. Wahi came to him. And what came in the wahi? That the child is in Jannat. The child is in Jannat. So Hazrat says, Rasulullah then asked her, do you want to see the child in Jannat? Do you want to see? I can show you the child in Jannat. You want to see? So Hazrat said, I want you to listen to her answer. That's why I gave you the story. What answer she gave Maria Qibtiya? If I ask you to show me the child in Jannat, will that not make me a kafirah? Will I not lose my iman? If I tell you, yes, I want to see my child in Jannat, will I not lose my iman? Will I not become a kafirah? Because whatever you say is from Allah. It is yaqini, it is qatri. So if I say I want to see my child in Jannat, does not mean that I am doubting you in what you are saying. And if I doubt you in what you are saying, that means I've got no iman left. Look at the answer she gave, Maria Qibtiya, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the answer. So Hazrat says, I gave you this waqiyah for you to just understand this here. Regarding the children, so you say there was one buzrug, he was in the khanqah. There was one buzrug in the khanqah. All of a sudden he was a Shah Saab he was. Middle of the night he gets up, he says, I want to get married. So in that time they used to read tahajjud, they used to be, nights used to be, they alive, awake at night. The khanqahs making zikr, making tahajjud, making. So he goes to Shaykh, I want to get married. So okay, wait till the morning, we'll check in the morning. He said, no, I want to get married now. middle of the night. I said, you want to get married middle of the night? He said, no, I want to get married right now. I can't wait till the morning. He said, bhai, there's nobody now. I only have one daughter. If you want to marry her, then it's fine. If you want to get married to her, he said, gee, I'm ready to marry her. So he went in the middle of the night, he gets daughter up, he said, Shah Sahib is here in the Khanqah, I want to make your nikah to him. In the presence of the other people in the Khanqah, we'll perform the nikah. Hazrat said, in the olden days, the daughters, whatever decision their father, mother made, they were happy with the decision of their father. Because no parent will want to get his child married to a place where he's not confident, and he won't want the best for his child. And at this point, in his majlis, Hazrat became very angry. He says, "Aajkal ke zamane mein, in the era that we are living in, whether it's a boy or a girl, kisi ko mil lete hain, they just bring anybody. Chahe Musalman ho, chahe ghair Muslim ho, whether it's a Muslim they're meeting up with, whether it's a non-Muslim they're meeting up, they just bring anybody, run away. And they don't care." And on this he got very angry. And he said that namaz to padte nahi hai, lekin isme iman ka khatra nahi hai. Sanat. And when they do all actions like this, isme iman ka khatra hota hai. Then the iman gets endangered. Because now, to be with that person, they don't care about what happens to the iman. They don't care. You know, I went to one town in South Africa. Actually, two, three places I went, it happened like that. I went to Seychelles also. I went to Seychelles. The original families that are there, some of the children from the original families, they got married to the local girls that were there, who were not Muslim. They were Christians. Predominantly Christian people. So today they're no more Muslims. They're not Muslims anymore. I went to East London, yeah. East London. If I give you the name of the family, you won't even believe it. So they went there. They married the women from there, non-Muslim. And today those peoples are murtad and they're running churches in East London. And their forefathers were Muslims. So I told Hafiz Sahab that why don't we go and give them da'wat? Tell him, Hafiz Sahab, you're just wasting your time. They are not interested. They've gone too far ahead in the kufr, what they are involved in. Out of the fold of Islam. Can you imagine? So Hazrat got very agitated. He says, what kind of children we have? They don't listen. They don't respect. They don't even consider their parents, what their parents have to say. They're not interested. It's my life. I can do what I want, when I want, however I want. You have no control over me. That's the mentality. And as I said, one person, one child was disobedient to his father. So he told the child, beta, main tumhara baap nahi hu kya? Am I not your father? So that fellow said, no, you had relations with my mother, otherwise I'm not your son. I'm not your son. He said, imagine a son telling his father like that. What kind of children this is? And he's very angry. Normally Hazrat is a very soft person. But in this majlis, he was very angry when he said that. He said, aajkal ki aulad, today's children. And in yesterday's majlis, he said, you know, humko to khana bhi nahi aata. We don't even know how to eat. We don't even know how to drink. Some people, they like to bring food from outside. They buy. The one says he comes to propose to your daughter, but his habit is he buys food from outside, and while he is walking on the road, he's eating his food. He says, don't give your daughter to him. He doesn't even know how to eat. He says, while you are walking and you are eating, there's no difference between you and an ox. Ek bail bhi khata hai chalta chalta. Even ox also eats food while it's walking. So you are an ox, what's the difference? You don't even know how to eat food. Then when it comes to drinking, you don't even know how to drink. When they drink, they make like that. Noise comes out. Slurping. He says, even animals, they make noise. Why are you drinking like that? So you don't even know how to eat, you don't even know how to drink, and it is compulsory for you that you save yourself from zillat. That a person doesn't put himself in zillat. لا ينبغي للمؤمن أن يذل نفسه. It is not appropriate for a mu'min to put himself in disgrace. So you getting your child married to such a fellow, she's going to be disgraced in a person that doesn't know how to eat, he doesn't know tahzeeb, he doesn't know culture, he doesn't know mannerisms, he knows nothing, and he wants your daughter, and you're prepared to give him on what basis? Is what I said. So, they said, alright, let's ask that buzurg in the khanqa, what was the urgency in the middle of the night now, you just want to get married, what is the reason for that? Is there any reason for that? It's a big urgency for you to want to just get married now and now. Said, yeah, there was an urgency because I slept. And in the dream, I saw that Qiyamah is taking place. And in front of Allah, there was a child. And that child is telling Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I can't go into Jannah without my father. There's no way I can go into Jannah without my father. So the child clung onto his father and said, Allah, that I want to, if you want to send me to Jannah, then I want to go with my father to Jannah. So I thought to myself, that me, I got no amal. Now this buzug is saying, every Ahlullah feels he got nothing by him. That's a sign he's a wali. If you think you have achieved so much, you have achieved nothing. If you think you have achieved nothing, you have achieved so much. Isn't it? Huh. You see? That's why some Ahlullah kehte hai, main kuch nahi hu, kuch nahi hu. I'm nothing. So one fool came there, he heard one buzug saying, main kuch nahi hu, kuch nahi. He said, jab woh khud keh rahe kuch nahi hai, to hum kya fayda uthayenge yahan se, woh chale gaye. So if that fellow himself is saying, me kuch nahi ho, then he got nothing. So if there's nothing he got, what am I sitting there wasting my time? I'd rather go somewhere else where he's saying he got something. So the fool doesn't understand, wo kuch nahi, kuch mein, isme sab kuch hai. Fool. You see? That's why Muhammad Rasa used to say, na ilm hai, na amal hai. See why sharmindagi ke. There's no ilm, there's no amal. Besides sharmindagi, disappointment, ya Allah, we couldn't reach the mark. And that. Every person, even the pious, most pious people, they're fearful of Allah Ta'ala. Very fearful. You know how, why they're fearful? Sometimes one person, he's a sinner, he's doing guna, everything he's doing wrong. But he does one good deed, and Allah forgives him because of that good deed. Allah gives him the best mood, Allah Ta'ala elevates his maqam. Because of one good action he does, because of that Allah Ta'ala forgives all his bad sins. And sometimes a person has got 99% everything good is doing, and 1% wrong is doing, he gets pakar for that 1%. That 1% you're doing wrong, for that Allah Ta'ala punishes him for that 1% wrong. Now 99% getting right, and 1% getting wrong, but it is a possibility Allah Ta'ala can punish a person for that 1% also. So that fear is in everybody's heart. So that can't come out. You see? So therefore, at the end of the day, it's very important. So he said, no, I saw on the day of Qiyamah that this child is saying, I won't go into Jannah without my parent. So therefore, he's clinging on to his parents. So I thought to myself that this year bought a child. I'd rather get married right now. So that because if I get the child, if the child goes, then mera kaam ban jayega. So mera kaam ban jayega on the other side. You see? So that's what he said to the Sheikh. So therefore, at the end of the day, Hazrat said, look at the answer Maria Qibtiya gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if I have to question you, that means that I don't have shak in what you're saying. And if I have shak in what you're saying, means I don't have iman. And that means I'm a kafir, I'm out of the fold of Islam and iman. So therefore, when it comes to following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have to have full ittiba, manmani naho. We can't follow our own desires. We have to have follow Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mukhlisin lahuddin, khalis, purifying the deen for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just this one thing I heard from my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Qamruzzaman Sahib from one of his majlis. He mentioned, Maulana Qamruzzaman Sahib, that this is the month, obviously he's talking about islahi nafs, that we have to make islah of our nafs. Then Hazrat, he said that, see, a dua is very important. We have to make dua. Because in dua, there's so many angles to it, that it brings us so close to Allah Ta'ala, if we make dua. Hazrat said, لَيْسَ الشَّيْءِ أَكْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَى. There's nothing more honorable in the eyes of Allah more than dua. Dua is ajeeb thing. We have to make dua all the time. أَدْدُعَاءُ مِنْ أَفْزَلِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is from the most virtuous forms of ibadat. بُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. It is the essence of ibadat. It is the crux of ibadat. عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لِأَنَّ فِيهِ إِظْهَارُ الْعِجْزِ. Because when we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, it means that we are totally helpless. We're confessing, Ya Allah, I'm helpless, I'm in need. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when we make dua, He gets happy. And if we don't make dua, Allah gets angry. Then what do you think? You're too strong that you don't need me. You can do everything yourself. You can accomplish everything yourself. You don't need my forgiveness. That's why dua is a very integral part of ibadat. Very integral. That's why we need to spend a lot of time. لِأَنَّ فِيهِ إِظْهَارُ الْإِذِّ وَالتَّزَلُّلُ وَالْإِفْتِقَارُ. You're showing Allah, I'm in need. وَالْإِنْكِسَارُ. You're breaking yourself down. Say that. وَالْإِعْتِرَافُ بِذُنُوبُ. And who makes dua? That person who is confessing to committing sin. He says, Allah, I don't have so much to present in front of you. Ey Allah, through your fazal, Ey Allah, aap mujhe maaf kar de, you forgive me, and whatever little broken effort I've done, Ey Allah, you accept it from me. Wal i'tiraf bi zunub, and also in it, you are making i'tiraf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ghani. Allah is independent. Allah ta'ala is not in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above need. That's what you are making i'tiraf. So dua encompasses so many different aspects. So therefore we should now, in this last phases of the month of Ramadan, we should spend our time a lot now in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that, yes, whatever little bit we have done, Allah ta'ala accept it from us. So that, make shukr for what we have done, we can get more tawfiq. Even if it's a little bit, but Allah shukr, we done little bit zikr, we made dua, we made tilawat, we read. Don't think it's small. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes a person does a little work and He can give him full ajr on the little bit that he has done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to see here to see how much we can do. And al-idzu fakhri, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-idzu fakhri. This helplessness, this is my pride. This is my pride. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when we go to Allah ta'ala, we have to take a gift from here. Normally, if you go to somebody, you have to go with a gift. You don't go empty-handed. Ya adab hai. Ya adab hai. You go with a gift. So we have to take a gift to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala doesn't have. Normally if you go somewhere, now here we know, I went to Joburg, one Maulana's house, he told me, that time it was leeches season. Now that syndicate leeches is very famous here in Pochepstone. So he's asking me, so that now that time it was just came out, hardly we saw it. So I told him, it never came out. I said, I was waiting for you to bring that syndicate. Because aapke yaha hai, because that leech is like sweet sour. The other leeches is full sweet, but that one is sweet sour. So he said, where's the syndicate leeches? You see? And then here in our south coast also, you get that honey, unfiltered honey, the raw honey, that you don't get, that's produced here in our area. Sai Baji. So that, our side is, we have all these things. So when we're going other places, then you go, if you're going Polokwane, they say, you came with fish, where's the fish? There's no fish that's that side, fresh fish from the ocean. So whatever you find in your area, you take that to those people who are, they can't have all those things. Now, that's normal usul. So if we're going to the akhirat, then what gift can we take on that side which Allah Ta'ala doesn't have? So the only gift that Allah Ta'ala, that we can take from here which Allah doesn't have is ajizi, helplessness. Because Allah Ta'ala is never helpless. We are helpless. So this is the only thing we can take from here, is ajizi. And my Hazrat said, jisne mitaya apna naam o nishan, jisne mitaya apna naam o nishan, haftai iqlim ka bana sultan. Once you have killed your nafs, annihilated the nafs, I am nothing. Ya Allah, I am nothing. You everything. But meri kya haisiyat hai? You see, I am nothing. I have no ilm. I have no amal. I have nothing. I am a sinner. I am a gunegar. I am a siyakar. I am a badkar. I am like this. Allah Ta'ala loves that. Send that. Allah Ta'ala loves that. You'll become the sultan of your time, as it says. You will become the leader of your time. And then he says, أنا معترف بذنبي. I'm معترف of my guna. Now who is saying this here? I'm معترف of my guna. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying. حالك he got no guna. Rasulullah doesn't have no guna. But he's saying, أنا معترف بذنبي. I'm معترف of my guna. And Rasulullah is saying, if Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying it, then where me and you are? How many guna we commit every day? Every thought of ours is shaitani. Everything we're doing is after things is shaitani. So therefore, we are drowning in shaitaniyat. Sanaji. So therefore, أنا معترف بذنبي. I'm making اعتراف of my guna. If Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is making اعتراف of his guna, where me and you are? How much we have to make اعتراف of our guna? In from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat concludes, he said, one person keeps on writing. Hazrat, ye mera ma'mool hai. This is what I do for the day, this amount of zikr I'm making, this amount of tilawat I'm making, this amount. So I said, MashaAllah, aap ye sab kaam kar rahe hain, lekin kibr kya haal hai? You're telling me all this you're doing, but you're not telling me what's the position of your kibr. That you're not telling me. How much kibr you got in your heart. That you're telling everything else. But that actual, your islah on the inside, your kibr, that part of it you don't want to tell me. Mera kibr ka kya hai, tera kibr ka kya haal hai. Wo pakar ho jati hai. Ahlullah ke paas, you try to think, make yourself, say, Hazrat, I'm doing so much. Why, that's all the good things you're doing. Why don't you speak about all the wrong things you're doing? Why don't you say, I'm doing this guna, I'm doing that guna, I'm doing, this I've filtered out, this is what is left, this is what I'm getting right, this is what I'm falling down, this is what I'm, that you don't want to say all those things. But you only want to speak about how much zikr you're making every day, and how much this and that. Go foreign pakar ho gayi se. Zara kibr ka kya hal hai? So I went to Ahlullah. They say, may Allah keep us on the tariq of our akabirin. May Allah keep us steadfast. And the baqiya, whatever time left of the month of Ramadan Kareem, inshallah, 25th night, 27th night, 29th night, there's still 3 odd nights left. I think also, inshallah, one of those nights will be the Laylatul Qadr. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also to keep on searching for the Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat. Allah Ta'ala give us His nisbat, His closeness, His qurbat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes for a time for us to leave this dunya, then with too much of respect and dignity and azmat of all His ahkam that we leave this world, we're having full azmat of all the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making i'tiraf of our gunas, and seeking the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala take us in such a condition with iman and the kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ana wa tanzu akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.